is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Yawning this morning. Well, welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 5th of December, 2023. We've got 19 days until Christmas.
Seems incredible, doesn't it?
Yeah, this year flew by very quickly. Good morning, Mr. Palmer.
Good morning.
Welcome to another World News Tuesday with Mark Palmer. We have a very interesting world news subject to talk about this morning. But before we get there, Mr. Palmer, let me start the show with a couple of live reads.
And it's Starfruit Tuesday.
Oh, yes, it is. Starfruit Tuesday to the Guardian family. If you miss the Starfruit Walk on the way up, try and catch it on the way down. But in case you didn't know, in the winter we have a lot of fruit also, right? Different types of fruit.
Still have the winter avocado, the pears.
Yeah, they're still about. And these fruit tend to be more cyclical. So if your soursop tree is getting the right amount of sun, water, and nutrients, it will be bearing soursop year-round. Sugar apple is bearing right now, starfruit bearing, juju bearing, dilly on the trees, dilly's bearing, papaya's bearing, cherries bearing, passion fruit is bearing. There's lots of fruit available for people. Let's get the show started with our Sand Dollar Live Reads. Sand Dollar Holiday Rebates is here. Get up to $100 back this holiday season when you spend Sand Dollars, the digital Bahamian dollar, at selected merchants. If you're in Nassau, you can present your Sand Dollar-enabled digital wallet and receipts to Team Sand Dollar at the Sand Dollar Rebate Booth located inside Omni at the mall at Marathon. Each receipt must have a total of $50 or more. Additional rules and restrictions may apply. Visit sanddollar.bs/merchant list for a list of merchants. Good morning, and Mark, it's trivia time again. Trivia is back. We're going to start the show right away with the trivia. Let me give you the numbers to call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. You can find these numbers listed on a Guardian Radio 96.9's Facebook page or GuardianTalkRadio.com. We're giving away Sand Dollars again. Every week, six listeners can win 30 digital Bahamian dollars if they get the correct answer and have a digital wallet. When you call in, give the producer your name and cell number and wallet provider. Include wallet provider and custom name in texts. Download a digital wallet right now because every Tuesday and Thursday, you can be a winner. Again, the numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas but not on New Providence. And our text line, as always, powered by BTC, 422-4796. That's 422-4796. First trivia question for the day. All of these questions, you can find the answer by Googling them. World AIDS Day is on which day in December? Ooh. World AIDS Day is on which day in December? Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720. If you're in the Bahamas but not on New Providence, 422-4796 for the text line. World AIDS Day is on which day in December? First Sand Dollar Trivia question for the day. Remember, you have to have a digital wallet to win. Well, let me tell you about how quick my winners are. Producer, let's go to the phone line. Let's take this call. Good morning, caller. If you call into...
Listen, you got plenty, man.
If you call in to answer the trivia, you must have a digital wallet. Good morning. Hi, good morning.
Good morning. I'm calling to give the answer for December 1st.
Yes, that is the correct answer, ma'am. Hold the line. The producer is going to pick up the call, and the producer is going to take your information.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Producer, thank you so much. The first question has been answered.
Easy money.
Yeah. And I'm glad that people know
what
it is, right? Mm-hmm. It's important for us to know. And for those who think, well, AIDS has nothing to do with me, don't worry about you. Let's focus on the children and vulnerable people who have contracted HIV or developed AIDS through no fault
of their own,
in particular newborn babies who have this sort of mother-to-child transfer, people who may have accidentally received the virus through blood transfer, someone who may have unwittingly or unknowingly interacted with someone with the virus, someone who may have been the victim of assault, sexual assault, or rape. There are people who contracted through no means, and even those who do contract it through their own reckless behavior or decision-making, they deserve our empathy and they deserve our support. All right, I'm gonna wait until the line is cleared. Maybe we throw out our second question. Mr. Palmer, it's a World News Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
We got a World News subject.
Yeah.
So there's something big happening across the globe that involves the Bahamas.
Absolutely,
right? It's definitely a global issue. Today we're going to talk about the Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response Accord. It's sort of a couple of things I want to interrogate. First of all, there's tons of reading around this, right? It's a lot to get a hold of. And we may not be able to tackle all of the technical parts of the accord today, but the things I want to talk about today are people's concerns about the accord. We want to address that. I also want to address our state engagement. What is the government's position on the accord, on the decision-making process, and that leads to the ratification, the creation of this new mechanism, and the conversation that our government actors are having with us on the ground about their decision-making at this, what do we call, supranational or intra-governmental level.
I mean, the big challenge with all of this, these negotiations are pretty much taking place in secret. And we are not being advised. And it is actually a very big change. I mean, if we look back at the history of the WHO, it was initially founded in 1948 to give advice and assistance and recommendations to governments, which sounds very good, right? So they use their ability through collaborative efforts and research to give advice. Now, that is changing now. At the moment, there are negotiations taking place to significantly expand the control of the WHO. And they're basically two instruments that are being negotiated pretty much in secret. We don't, you know, in the developing countries, even under FOIA requests, they have not been able to find out who is negotiating on behalf of the government for these instruments. So there is the International Health Regulations of 2005, and then you refer to the Pandemic Treaty Accord.
Right.
So these two documents, they kind of work in tandem. So there are some big changes taking place, and it's and just to, as a big level thing, it's going from advisory to mandatory.
All right.
And that is, I think, one of the
biggest concerns of people in the Bahamas, people across the region, people in other regions across the world. So let me give some...
Because, I, you know, the, it's presented, the way it's presented It just sounds fantastic, doesn't it?
Because absolutely.
These documents sound amazing. So they talk about instruments to increase collaboration, efficient sharing of information, and equity, which was a very important thing through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And those sound really good, don't they?
Absolutely.
But when you dig into what the actual treaty says, it's actually completely different.
So let's stick a pin here and say this and then do a little reading for the audience.
Yeah.
Even if every element of the conversation, every government actor, every UN staff member, every WHO member, even if every one of them has the purest intent.
The goodest, the best intention.
The goodest. Yeah. Let's say the goodest heart, the best intention, the purest intent, it still
could go wrong. And let me tell you why it will go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we've talked on this show about accountability
and
the lack of accountability. Did you know when the WHO was formed in 1948, the founding document exempted it from criminal charges? Right? So if you look at, if you look at Article F, Section 13 of the original document, any person who is working for the WHO in their official capacity has immunity from personal arrest or detention, seizure, or legal process of every kind. That means they are totally unaccountable. So if they do make a mistake, or if they're willfully reckless, there is no accountability. So
absolutely.
I think I really needed to point that out.
Yeah, no, without a doubt.
I think if, like you say, if there were intention, if there was a process whereby, you know, you could challenge the WHO, and certainly when we look at the pandemic, they made a lot of missteps, but you can't challenge them. They are a law unto themselves. And I think now moving from advisory to a compulsory or a diktat type of organization is very worrying to me.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you said that. So we behold that.
Mm-hmm. Just keep
to
that
juxtapose
in the background.
With
we have no right of recourse. If they make a mistake in the future and it costs us money, we have absolutely, and people die. Say for the worst case scenario, we have no recourse.
Absolutely.
They're completely exempt from liability. Just like the vaccine manufacturers were, complete blanket immunity from reckless behavior and fraud.
Well, let's see, because we have to discuss today a case that you brought to my attention, which is the Attorney General of Texas versus Pfizer.
Yeah.
Right? So we see a government agency entity challenging the pharmaceutical company. So let's start with the accord.
Yeah.
So this is from a UN website. The title is Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response Accord. The date is 28th of June, 2023. Member states of the World Health Organization have agreed to a global process to draft and negotiate a convention, agreement, or other international instrument under the Constitution of the World Health Organization to strengthen pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to rewind to the 3rd of March, 23, another UN article. Countries begin negotiations on global agreement to protect world from future pandemic emergencies. Again, that's the 3rd of March of this year. Countries of the World Health Organization have begun negotiations on a global accord on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response using the, quote, zero draft, close quote, as a basis for negotiating an agreement to protect nations and communities from future pandemic emergencies. According to the process agreed by governments at a special session of the World Health Assembly in late 2021, negotiations on the draft pandemic accord will aim to produce a final draft for consideration by the 77th World Health Assembly in May 2024.
That's right. The World Health, that is the deadline, May 2024. That's only 5-6 months. So for a lot of our listeners, this is complete news, you know, news to them. I mean, most people don't know that. And so May 2024 is the deadline. However, even if they do get through and they get approved, individual states have the right to individually opt out within a specified time. So we have 10 months after May. If we vote for it, we do have some time to reconsider our decision and opt out.
All right. Let's stick a pin there. I want to throw out the second question.
Otherwise, it automatically applies to us.
I want to throw out the second question. Let's read through the timeline a little bit, and then we get to, well, what is our government's position on the Pandemic Prevention Preparedness and Response Accord? So let's go to our second trivia question for the morning from the Sand Dollar Unit. And throw out the numbers in the text line right away. 323-6232. 325-4316, 325-4259, and 242-300-5720 for people in the Bahamas but not on New Providence. And our text line, powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. The second question of the day. Again, the answer can be found on Google, and all of the questions have a similar theme. The International Day of Persons with Disabilities is on what day in December? The International Day of Persons with Disabilities is on what day in December? All of these days sit within the 16 days of activism. Second question for the day, the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is on what day in December? 323-6232, 325-4316. 325-4259, 242-300-5720. Producer, let's go to that call. Remember, if you call in for the trivia, you must have a digital wallet.
Boy,
good morning, caller.
Yes, trying to answer this with you.
Yes, you got a digital wallet?
Yes.
I with you. The International Day of Persons with Disabilities is on what day?
December 3rd.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Hold the line. Give the producer your information, your cell phone number, and your wallet provider. Thank you so much. Okay. I see you texters as well. I see your answers. Okay. Let's get back to this article. Mm-hmm. Countries begin negotiations on global agreement to protect world from future pandemic emergencies. We're talking about the process of drafting this new supranational instrument called the Pandemic Prevention Preparedness and Response Accord. In parallel with the Pandemic Accord negotiations, governments are also discussing more than 300 amendments to the International Health Regulations 2005 that you referenced in an effort to make the world safer from communicable diseases and ensuring greater equity in the global response to public health emergencies. Governments have been working to ensure consistency and alignment across the INB and the IHR processes.
So what's interesting about this, and this is another philosophical point, Aaron, and I think we've talked about this on the show as well, centralized versus subsidiarity. So a centralized one top-down from the supranational organization, or the ability of ourselves to have subsidiarity and solve our own medical crisis. You know, it all starts with a doctor-patient relationship and informed consent, which is the bedrock of how we are treated and our freedom and our personal rights. Now, those were completely trampled on during the pandemic. There were a lot of missteps, and I'd like to go through some of those perhaps later, because what we're doing, actually, we are promoting upwards a level of incompetence, which has not been accounted for. And that for me is a big issue. And subsidiarity, remember, if you look at science, the way science works, it evolves on the edges.
We're talking about central, like central versus subsidiarity is central government versus local government for so local context.
It's a complete philosophical difference. The underpinning view to it is that you can have one algorithm that fixes everything. You have one medical response, usually a pharmaceutical one from the supranational organization, that solves everything with no consideration for terrain, geography, development, ethnicity. It's one size fits all. And if you don't do it, you're going to be punished, right? And that there's something just doesn't sit right with me.
Right.
We know that you cannot have one solution to a problem,
a global problem,
a global problem.
And not just that, one of the concerns that arises is if I opt out of the central decision-making policy, does that mean I'm excluded from all of the other parts, like equal and equitable sharing of resources, right? And equal means we all get what we all get the same, but equitable means we get what we need. So it's not just the same, we get the same amount of what we need individually.
And I think that is an argument the government will need to convince us with, because, you know, I think Thomas Sowell once said there are no solutions, only trade-offs. And so, you know, we have this trade-off of our freedom, our ability, our subsidiarity for this concept of equity, whatever it means. It hasn't been properly defined. And what it usually means is a pharmaceutical product of some sort.
Absolutely.
Usually a very profitable one at that.
All right. So let's get back to the article. Governments have been working to ensure consistency with the intergovernmental negotiating body within the WHO and the IRH, International Health Regulations processes. The proposed IHR amendments will also be presented to the World Health Assembly in 2024 and would, together with a future pandemic accord, provide a comprehensive, complementary, and synergistic set of global health agreements. So we move to the next article, and I just want to say quickly, at their next meeting, right, the article is countries set out way forward for continued negotiations on global agreement on pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response. The date is the 17th of June. So we've moved from the 3rd of March. We're now in June of this year. And the drafting group, which is a part of the process, discussed at the June session, or the May in the May session, they discussed Chapter 2 of the World Health Organization regulations addressing Articles 9 on research and development, Articles 10 on liability risk management, Article 11 on co-development and transfer of technology and know-how, Article 12, access and benefit sharing, Article 13, supply chain and logistics, and Article 14, regulatory strengthening. Right? And so those are the key issues that they have been discussing in this process.
And they are very good issues, provided they are informed in an advisory capacity.
Absolutely.
Rather than a one
top-down, one solution model.
Where all health solutions, right, are to be found in a particular product. And One Health, actually, we should go and define what that One Health. It's not just your physical health. It actually is much broader than that.
Right.
And we can talk about that later, too.
Okay. I have a definition. That was very interesting. And so much language that one has to familiarize themselves with to not just understand what's being discussed, but then to make cogent and reasonable contributions to the discussion and to expand it to address our local needs.
Yeah.
So the next article I'm going to read from briefly is WHO, the World Health Organization, welcomes historic commitment by world leaders for greater collaboration, governance, and investment to prevent, prepare for, and respond to future pandemics. And this is the 20th of September, 23. The World Health Organization welcomed today's historic commitment shown by global leaders at the United Nations General Assembly to strengthen the international cooperation, coordination, governance, and investment needed to prevent a repeat of the devastating health and socioeconomic impact caused by COVID-19, make the world better prepared for future pandemics, and get back on track to achieving the sustainable development goals.
I mean, it sounds very good. If all the damage that happened in the pandemic was due to COVID and not to missteps in public health policy, there are currently a lot of countries are reviewing what happened during the pandemic. And generally speaking, you know, if we look at the Scottish Inquiry that came out, pretty much the WHO got pretty much everything wrong. And, you know, and that has not been addressed. Remember, we looked at lockdowns. That was the first time in the history of this planet that healthy people were quarantined. It went against every aspect of public health scientific public health that was ever, social distancing. Mm-hmm. And remember, all of these, there were a lot of constitutional rights that were taken away from us during that time. And my concern is that it will happen again. And they were taken without just cause, without scientific citation, and without any public hearings or democratic process. So lockdowns were handed down to us, right? Mm-hmm. There was no scientific citation from to this day. There isn't any. Social distancing was the same. Masking was the same. No scientific citations. Recent meta-analysis showed they had very little effect, if any. Herd immunity. The WHO changed the definition of herd immunity to remove herd immunity by natural infection. This goes against O-level biology.
Mm-hmm.
Why would they change a definition of herd immunity to allow only for vaccination?
I tell you why, Mark. And it's not as sinister as we would think. It's far more problematic than it is sinister, right? And that is that it appears as if the World Health Organization has been put in a position where it is now attempting to make the science work for the politics,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to advising politicians with policy
mm-hmm.
that understands the medicine, right, and the science.
So there was very little science during the pandemic, but the mm-hmm. way that you read that document there, it was as a result of COVID, not potential missteps of public policy.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, and I think, you know, I'd like to see what, if there are any lawyers listening, what their views are on the constitutional issues.
Mm-hmm.
Because there were, during the last pandemic, there were some constitutional rights that were taken away from us. Now, if you remember, it all started with censorship. Now, in the States, it's a much bigger deal under the First Amendment. But there was a New York Times article that came out in July that said that misinformation and censorship by the Biden administration cost lives. You can go and mm-hmm. find that document. They closed churches. That's the freedom of assembly. Freedom of worship. That was taken away just like that. There was no medical citation given for it. Freedom of assembly was stopped, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's protected in our Constitution. I don't believe it says in the Constitution
freedom
that
of association,
in the event of a pandemic, you can just take that away. Now, I'm not a constitutional lawyer, so I can be corrected on that.
Right, because the Pandemic Act, it allows for a limited amount of time suspension of particular constitutional rights,
mm-hmm.
but it is temporary, and that's the most important note. But Mark, let's go to this caller.
Go for it.
And then I want to read some of the results coming out of the high-level UN meeting, the political mm-hmm. discussion that is a companion to the World Health Organization Pandemic Accord discussion. We get back to that after this caller. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning, Ms. Green.
Morning, how you do?
Good morning, Mr. Mark Palmer. I love what Mr. Mark Palmer is saying. I haven't disagreed with anything this gentleman is saying. Ms. Green.
Yeah, man.
I disagree with you, however, with the fact that you're saying that this is unintentional. The pandemic protocol responses, right? It is not. It really is not. Because Mark Palmer highlighted high school biology, right? So, firstly, the World Health Organization, right? Let's remember now that countries fared well during the pandemic who didn't adhere to their, you know, who was not a part of the WHO, like Taiwan and et cetera, other countries, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I like how Mr. Mark Palmer mentioned ICANN, Informed Consent Action Network. So I said before the radio over and over that the Health and Human Services had neglected a vaccine update safety report for 30 years, from 1988 up until the 90s, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, from up until early 2000s. I don't know the parameters, but I don't know when it started. Also, I have a problem with the self-authorization. So if you remember from last year, maybe a year and a half ago, Dr. Archer would have discussed this under the International Health Regulation that had asked to discuss this dictatorial paradigm that they want to create. A pandemic here, a pandemic there and everywhere, where they determine what is a pandemic. I like how Mr. Mark Palmer highlighted the fact that they have changed the definition for what is herd immunity. They didn't only change the definition, they changed the percentage threshold of what is herd immunity, what amount of people need to be vaccinated to establish herd immunity.
Mm-hmm.
They have taken away the natural immunity response, and so thus Google is lying when it is saying that you can, the vaccine produce better immunity than natural immunity, when the studies have shown quite the contrary, right?
Mm-hmm.
Also, we must remember now in the book, The First Global Revolution, and the concept of creating a common global threat in order to scare the sheep, to implement dictatorial powers. The emergency powers is one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we are so naive, right? We even when we look at AIDS and the syphilis Tuskegee experiment, we didn't look at what the syphilis Tuskegee experiment really was. It was an attempted genocide because when they unwittingly infected the participants, it was all in the guise. They didn't tell them they was infecting them with syphilis, but they didn't tell them they don't go home and have sex. As a matter of fact, they sent them out in the community to go and have sex, mm-hmm. so that they would in turn kill more people. And so we must stop being naive as a people, all right? And so with this power being signed off by countries giving the World Health Organization its power, this is about control. And so we saw where I told you during the pandemic there was a competition on the pandemic protocol responses in which countries came first, second, and third. This is all by design. How do they know what is disease X? How do they know what is next? Have you guys ever heard about Atlantic Storm, Grade X, the big event? They are doing these simulations because they have it in mind.
52, I will ask you a
biological
question.
Ms. Green, can I have a conversation with you offline anytime?
Yeah, man.
Because I can't allow this BS to go on.
But
the
listen,
the world
hold on,
headed
52.
Down a scientific dictatorial paradigm, 50, and we seem to be asleep.
But 52, the key is you have to organize, right?
Yeah, but Ms. Green.
We can talk offline, but I want to ask
you
a question.
All right, let's get past vaccination.
But
right?
Hold on, I want to ask you a question, 52. Have you heard any conversation, any public statements from the Minister of Health, from the PHA, from the Ministry of Health and Wellness, from the Office of the Prime Minister about this pandemic accord? Have you heard?
These guys are mindless, and they listen to me. They lack vision. They are puppets. Like I said, it's a puppetization of the globe. Even if I hear something about them, it's what somebody else tell them to say, because nobody told me what to say. 52 reads it. Even after dropping out of college, and 52 is not intimidated. I've had conversation with Dr. Peter McCullough, Dr. Ankar Chetty, and the likes. And I'm willing to discuss it with anybody because I know the truth. And the truth is not within us to speak it to the masses. I like to call them another name. We are blind. We are being blindfolded. We're even being blindfolded with the vaccine narrative. Vaccinations and inoculation came from Aboriginal people. It is not scientific. Africans, Chinese people, inoculated people. Over 1,000 years ago, they was doing it. Scientists have taken it and kidnapped it, and now, just like penicillin, they're using vaccinations as the holy grail of medicine. And so when they will vaccinate us into oblivion, because we are of the idea that vaccinations will save us. So every disease, they will create a vaccine to enrich the status quo. Why can't we see that? People are living Aboriginal isolation with all these diseases. They are re-emerging these diseases for...
52, we got to go to a break. I want you to know that...
Very passionate.
And we need to be... Okay, so two things, 52. Knowing is not enough. You have to not only organize your thoughts, but you have to organize a space for your thoughts, mm-hmm. right? We have to have public discourse, and you have to help people to understand why you are so passionate about what it is that you're sharing. It takes organization. Being right is not sufficient in this modern era. Right? And so we cut the call because we have to go to a break. I got one more trivia question to throw out. Hurt. And you mind, Mark, here talking? I still have another half of a show to unfold for the discussion. So we go into a break. When we get back from the break, we're going to have our third Sand Dollar trivia question to my texters and callers. I've got your information. Remember, texters, there's a timestamp. So we good. I got you in the right order.
Look funny, all black up yesterday.
But she says she bumped into a wall when she's running after the churn them.
Yeah, but last Saturday, you see her arm was all black and blue, right?
So what you saying? You think something wrong between her and Jack?
I ain't sure, but you know Jack is a jealous man. I hear him and Cora last Friday. I hear him say he hear Cora have eyes for Junior.
Now, you know that ain't true. Cora is a good woman. Does mind her business, take care of them churn, and go to church every Sunday.
So what you think we should do? I think we should report Jack, you know. Cora don't say nothing, but silence hides violence, and we don't want to line up in the cemetery.
No. Not me. I ain't getting in nobody business. Then Jack come after me and I land up next to Cora.
No, man, we could call or text Crime Stopper. And remember, we can even get some grocery money for our tip.
Remind me getting out of this work.
We can call them in Miami at 328-TIPS or 328-8477. Or when we in the island, call toll-free at 300-TIPS or 300-8477. And if you don't have no minutes, use the Crack Crime Bahamas app and we could text them. And the messages get on mix-up before it leave your phone so nobody can know what you're saying.
So what are we waiting on then? Let's go earn some grocery money.
The Water and Sewage Corporation celebrates you this holiday season. Make your bills merrier and brighter with our exciting holiday promotion. Pay your bill in full between December 1st and 15th, 2023, and you'll automatically be entered for a chance to win amazing prizes. Simply visit any Water and Sewage Corporation location or our social media pages to find out more about the promotion and how you can participate. This holiday season, let us make your bills merrier and brighter. Happy holidays from the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Hello?
Hey girl, what you saying? I just was calling to check up on you.
Hey girl, everything fine, but I just
can't talk right now. I gotta go to the clinic.
The clinic? Everything okay with you?
Yeah girl, everything fine with me. I just trying to get this little one ready because he has an appointment for his childhood vaccination.
Well, Logan's 6 years old. I haven't taken him for his last vaccine
appointment since before the pandemic.
Did you know that the childhood vaccinations
protect these little ones from preventable diseases like polio,
rubella, measles, and mumps? So these vaccinations for the little ones is the best we could do for them.
I'm gonna make that appointment for him because I need him to get up to date with all of his vaccines.
Let me let you go, but call me back when you come back home.
Mommy, I need to go get my vaccines.
This message is brought to you by the Ministry of Health and Wellness, PAHO, WHO, and the Canadian government.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I want to hear Junkanoo group play that. Kermit, I want to hear Junkanoo group play that. I know I just Junkanoo fire it and make it better. I love it. I love it. And I love what Bahamian artists do. I love this genre that we've developed called the cover. I love it. Okay, Mr. Palmer, let's get back to the discussion. I'm going to throw my third question out for the day. Numbers to call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, 242-300-5720, text line powered by BTC, 422-GR96, that's 422-4796. Here's the question. The International Day for Women Human Rights Defenders is on which day in November? The International Day for Women Human Rights Defenders is on which day in November? All right, Mr. Palmer. So I want to read two key takeaways from the UN political companion meeting to the WHO pandemic accord process. Among numerous measures required, the political declaration recognized the need for member states to, one of them is, take measures to counter and address the negative impacts of health-related misinformation, disinformation, hate speech, and stigmatization, especially on social media platforms, on people's physical and mental health, including countering vaccine hesitancy in the context of pandemic prevention, preparedness, and response, and to foster trust in public health systems and authorities, including by increasing public health education, literacy, and awareness.
So you can redefine it in one word: censorship.
Yeah, I mean this is. Yeah.
It sounds incredibly fantastic, but it amounts to censorship because they will be able to determine what is misinformation, disinformation, without any recourse or challenge.
Absolutely. I see we got a caller. Let's go to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Thank you. You called to answer the trivia.
Yes, November 29th.
Absolutely, that's the correct answer, November 29th. Producer, please take her information. All right, guys, we are all done with the trivia. I've got C6811, you came in right at the end. All right, there's a timestamp on the text. That's why I like the text. It's a timestamp, right? So we know who came in first. The trivia is done for the day, people. I see we have another caller call. If you call in for the trivia, I apologize. It is finished. That person called in before you. So my concern, Mark, is that politicians will see this as an opportunity to piggyback on a good idea and implement controls that are not necessary for the science, but mm-hmm. necessary for them to maintain power and control.
Right.
And I think that's a part of what a lot of people are concerned about. See, we got 13 million.
It does seem like a power grab of sorts. And there's a few reasons for it that we can go into later. Some key kind of objections, you know, because the first one is that it's changing from advisory to mandatory.
Right. And I think
that has implications.
That's the biggest concern registered across the globe. Mm-hmm. If we just talk about it for a second, across the globe, this is the thing.
That makes it legally binding people, legally binding without any recourse by our government. And there will be some financial implications for whatever they determine. And we can go into that as well. But the second biggest thing is that it actually refers now to potential pandemics rather than actual pandemics.
So that their authority kicks in not when a pandemic has been declared, but when we feel there is a potential for a pandemic outbreak.
Or the potential to impact public health. Remember, and this is what we actually know, that they did this with monkeypox. They created a PHEIC, I forget the acronym now, after 44 deaths. Couldn't be challenged. And that was partly to get the RSV vaccine, the monkeypox vaccine through. So they can determine an international pandemic on the basis of 44 deaths. That's what they did.
Now,
and they can do that again.
Is that, though, based on the severity of the situation? Here's what I mean. Ebola is very deadly, but not very contagious, right? So you could get it. Mm-hmm. If you get it, it's likely you're going to die, but it's very
pox is
difficult
contagious,
to get.
But not very fatal.
Right.
And so the point is they were able to do this without any academic debate, without any challenge, without any discussion. It was an edict that they decided. And they can do this now. They will now have the power to do this in future.
So let's look at what our government is saying about the pandemic. And I want to just get the wording correct. What is our government saying about the Pandemic Prevention, Preparedness, and Response Accord? So I'm going to read to you from the only two articles I could find in my research last night. I will say that it was the search was limited to an hour plus. This is what I found on the Googles. First, an article, Darvel to lead Geneva delegation. This is in the Nassau Tribune, 24th of May, 2023. A delegation headed by Health Minister Dr. Michael Darvel has left the country to attend the 75th World Health Assembly in Geneva, Switzerland. The Bahamas delegation will be working with countries to stabilize existing relations and forge new mutually beneficial partnerships. Dr. Darvel said of the trip in a statement yesterday. Delegates attending have an ambitious agenda before them as the COVID-19 pandemic undermined progress towards health-related targets listed on the Sustainable Development Goals, according to the statement. In the words of current WHO Director General Dr. Tedros, as he is commonly called, the pandemic laid bare the inequities within and between countries. The conference will also include the appointment of the next World Health Organization Director General. The assembly ends on Saturday, May 28th, 2022. I may have gotten the date of the article incorrect. It may have been 2022. In Dr. Darvel's absence, Attorney General Ryan Pinder will act as Minister of Health and Wellness from May 22nd to 28th. So that was 24th of May 2022, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing I found is from May 2023, the 23rd of May. It's a UN article. It's ministers and senior representatives from the Americas call for more equity and solidarity to better address future pandemics. The article lays out contributions from every participating country in the Americas.
What about better science? I think that would be a good thing.
Well, let's get to the Bahamas' statement. The Bahamas, calling attention to the challenges faced by SIDS, small island developing states, especially climate change. Dr. Michael Donald Darville, Minister of Health and Wellness of the Bahamas, called attention to the challenges faced by small island developing states. As an archipelagic nation, the Bahamas has to spread health infrastructure across a wide network of islands. He talks about upgrading 50 clinics and, quote, plans to construct two state-of-the-art hospitals, as well as legislative changes to, quote, improve the delivery of healthcare services to our complex ecosystem. I just want to make note, I'm not going to read the entire statement. At no point...
I mean, these are very good things that he's talking about, but they don't really address
the pandemic. They don't address the pandemic accord. Yeah. They don't address the concerns of the citizens about a pandemic accord, about authority, autonomy, and decision-making in the face of pandemics.
It's not only that. It's dignity and human rights. Did you know that the new treaty seeks to remove respect, the clause, it's a very important clause, it seeks to remove respect for dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of people. That will no longer be in the revised regulations.
But I mean...
That's very concerning, don't you think?
But don't we have a moment... Don't we have time? Or this is what I was unable to determine in my reading.
They don't tell you this in that information that you've read. There's a lot of... you have to dig in to see... You know, but it's also mandatory medical treatments. You know, I just don't like the idea of mandatory... And the systems of global health certificates, digital IDs, these will all be within the power of the WHO to determine.
Because you cannot force someone to take a particular medication. And even if that individual represents a public health risk, the most you can do is quarantine them.
Well, you can now with the removal of the respect for dignity and human rights. That does not play a role anymore in the WHO deliberations. That's gone now.
But what about our local legislation?
So informed consent does not exist anymore.
If this accord is passed. But that's at that supranational level, and now it's up to governments to determine.
We can't do anything. Once we sign up to that, we are in lock, stock, barrel.
Now, when you say we're in lock, stock, barrel, we could do what we want.
No,
what are the sanctions and
can't.
Repercussions of making our own decisions?
Well, they can determine the mandatory medical treatments. We would have to comply with that. They would determine global health certificates.
But what's the penalty if we don't comply?
We can be legally forced to comply. That's the penalty.
But they can't come and lock all of us up, Mark. You see what I'm saying?
No, they can't come
and lock all of us up. They can't come and take, they can't come and say, well, listen, since you're all not behaving, we're going to take Paradise Island.
They can't, but our government could. They could lock us up if they wanted to.
See, now we're talking about...
Follow.
We're talking about two... Let's make this distinction. First, we're talking about, can supranational agencies enforce punishments on us for not following the accord? And then a separate question is, to what extent is the state or our state mechanisms prepared to enforce global medical policy?
So the emergency committee at the WHO can override decisions made by sovereign nations regarding health measures and would make the emergency committee's decisions final. Now, good question about what they can do. But they can force and make our government comply if we're signed up to that agreement. Now, I'm not a constitutional lawyer. I don't know how this all works. But it's clearly there's a lack of sovereignty here. I mean, there's an argument to say, are we really a sovereign nation? But I think our health, we should have some sovereignty over our health.
The lack of sovereignty doesn't sit at the political, legal space. The lack of sovereignty would then sit in the technical space. And the question is, do we have the capacity to take care of our holistic healthcare needs, right, if we opt out of this particular mechanism? Say, all of us say, hey, we as a collective acknowledge the right to self-determination for medical matters, But we, the collective, also understand that if we say no to the pandemic accord, that may negatively or detrimentally impact our ability to access medical services, medicines, technical, physical resources like needles, equipment.
I mean, it's a very good point you make, but I haven't seen the arguments. I haven't seen anyone make those arguments from our Ministry of Health. So it would be very interesting to see what that actually entails.
Would a U.S. Agency, would a U.S. federal agency direct its corporate entities and say the Bahamas is being sanctioned for not signing the accord or B, not fulfilling its obligations under the accord? And so we are
banning. I'm sure there
banning,
are ways but, that could be done.
Right. We are banning, we are restricting these companies. You cannot sell medical equipment to the Bahamas government or any corporation in the Bahamas or any corporation that is selling medical equipment to Bahamians. Well, it was Mark. We got 2 minutes left.
Yeah,
I want you to know we got a text here that says, Lady Green, please bring Mark back on for a part two on this World Health Organization pandemic accord. Another text that says, 52 is 100% right. Unfortunately, his pedagogy comes across as superiority and basically borderline intellectual escapades, right? And so 52, all the text is saying is that you're right, but how do we reduce, you know what the Prime Minister said, the contract had to be reduced to writing? How do we reduce this knowledge to bites that are consumable by the average listener?
Well, the optimist group is going to step up into that space and provide an advocacy for these issues.
Right. A space for people to ask questions, a space where you're free to critique without being ridiculed or...
So there'll be public meetings, there'll be various things, there'll be and an invitation for the Ministry of Health to debate these issues as well.
Maybe at
the University of the Bahamas, that could be a very good place for something like this to happen. I think there's a lot of interest in this topic. I think there are a lot of red flags. And I think going back, let me just finish, because there is a legal action at the moment in the United States. Just very quickly, the Texas AG against Pfizer, and they make 5 points, right? You cannot sue the vaccine manufacturers for anything, for wrongdoing, for flagrant mismanagement, for fraud. The only way you can sign them if they made misleading, false, or deceptive statements. And this is the first legal case that is now heading...
Right, and so what Mark is saying is that the Attorney General's Office of the State of Texas... is suing Pfizer.
And everything in this deposition applies also to the CDC, FDA, WHO, because they were guilty of the same things that the AG is accusing Pfizer of, namely misrepresentation concerning efficacy, durability of protection.
Well, let me read from the count one is misrepresentation concerning relative risk reduction. Count two is misrepresentations concerning durability of protection. Count three is misrepresentations concerning transmission. Count four is misrepresentations concerning protection against variants. And count number five, scheme to conceal vaccine underperformance. And so here we have...
I read the whole thing. It's 54 pages, and it is pretty scary reading. Now, if they're successful, they will be able to get some financial costs or penalties. And I think this is a really interesting case because the same things, as I say, that Pfizer was responsible, our regulatory bodies also did not advise us of, despite knowing the information.
Absolutely. Guys, we are all out of time. Mark, I'm hoping to bring you back next week, definitely before the Christmas. I know we have a Sand Dollars show lined up. If they reschedule, we're on World News Tuesday next week. If not, I must have a World News Wednesday or something. We have to continue the conversation. And most of all, Texas AG versus Pfizer sets a precedent that you can challenge these companies. You can challenge them. You can have the conversation with the courts. Mr. Palmer, thank you so much. You guys stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. Thank you for the star fruit, Mr. Palmer. And producer, thank you. The group who wins Junkanoo is the group who covers this song on Bay for Boxing Day. You guys have a wonderful day.
I feel it on my radio. Oh, oh, oh. I feel like I'm gonna kiss you standing beneath that mistletoe. If Santa came down the chimney half past three, y'all left all in my good
old. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.